tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everyone, and happy Wednesday. Welcome back to the Survivor After Show for Season 31, Survivor Second Chance, Episode 12. I'm your host, James Wallington. Unfortunately, Susanna will not be joining us this evening. She's a little under the weather. But back in the studio this week, we have...
Hey, guys. I'm Paige Bonanno. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Paige Bonanno.
We're definitely missed you, Paige, last week.
I know. I missed you guys last week, too.
And I missed recapping last week because it was two jam-packed action episodes.
Right.
That were so good.
Craziness, I know.
But luckily tonight was just as good, so we can make up for lost time.
Right, exactly. Can't wait.
Before we dive right into this episode, I do want to give a shout out to someone who left a comment on our after show last week. His name is Oscar Rangel.
Oscar.
And I think he preaches a lot of wisdom. And this is in regards to a lot of our viewers. He says, calm down, you guys. I like hearing other people's perspective on the game, and they have a lot of personality, which makes this show fun. All I have to say is, thank you, Oscar,
for putting
things into perspective.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, the three of us, we love Survivor a lot. We may not like it as much as you or love it as much as the other person, but at the end of the day, we're fans of the show. So when we come into the studio every Wednesday night, we watch the episode just like everybody else. We take notes while we watch the show. And what I think is really fun is that the three of us have, you know, different perspectives on how the game should be played, what we're seeing, or different takes on conversations that are being on the show.
Right.
So for me, what I want to just address is that I love the conversations that strike up on social media every week with me on Twitter, on YouTube, on Instagram about the show Survivor. But if we do not see eye to eye, just because our opinions do not line up with the rest of everyone else, please just have a little bit more respect for us because we love this show. And when I say I'm a super fan, I'm not even joking. I'm the type of fan that, like,
James is a super fan.
Party is growing up. I'm a nut about it.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, last week, I'm sorry if our opinions offended anyone, but I just bring to the table opposing arguments just to see what kind of conversation we can stir up.
Right.
So that's all I'm going to say.
And as James pointed out, you know, like, all three of us as the host, we all started watching Survivor at different points in our life. You know, we all have different opinions. It's the same as any other thing that people have opinions on. You know, like, you may not agree with somebody, but, you know, still have some class, be nice about it. You know, everybody has different opinions, and just go about it in a classy way.
And to tie it in with the game of Survivor, you know, that's what this season is most compelling about to me, is the fact that everyone on the show is either old school or middle school or new school.
Exactly.
So their perspectives on how to play the game is vastly different from one another. So that same goes for us as viewers and fans of the show. Our opinions are going to be a lot different from one another. And that's what makes this show fun, is to have those conversations with one another.
And people in our live chat look like they're agreeing with us as well, saying, you know, smart, James. I agree with you, James. Calm down, people. Like, so, you know.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
I love everyone, and we appreciate your loyalty to our show every week. And, of course, we can't make everybody happy with our opinions.
Right. But we'll try our best.
All right, you guys. So let's dive right into tonight's episode. It was a good one.
Oh,
what did
God.
You think overall, Paige?
I just thought it was craziness. You know, coming off of last week, I figured that, you know, Joe was going to be the one to go home, and I think it needed to be done. It was a little sad for me, but I think they did what they had to do in order to survive.
So. All I kept thinking about was poor Susanna, because Joe is on her fantasy
draft team.
And again, she lost another person, so that's three in a row.
So she lost Sierra, Steven, and
Joe. Oh, wait, did you have Steven?
No, I had Steven, yeah.
Oh, so
we haven't
never
looked at our fantasy scenes thing in so long. So she just lost those two,
yes.
Right? She's still three. Okay. So I lost Steven.
I liked this episode. I kind of figured it was kind of the end for Joe, which is unfortunate. But, you know, when you're winning immunity after immunity, of course, like, someone's going to take you out eventually.
Right.
Which we saw tonight. The episode opens up with the conversation between Jeremy and Spencer on the beach. Jeremy's kind of giving props to Spencer about the fact that that was a great move last night. And I have to agree. I think Spencer made a really great move mm-hmm. because I think Steven and Spencer are kind of similar in some respects.
Okay.
And in this case, I think Spencer's a little threatened by his relationship, by Steven's relationship with Jeremy. So by
with Jeremy.
So by taking out Steven, that's going to pull... Spencer closer.
Exactly.
So now Spencer's kind of like buddy-buddy with Jeremy.
Right.
Now. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a really smart and strong move that was well executed on Spencer's
behalf.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Yeah, I can definitely agree with that for sure. And it seemed like it worked. I mean, they were pretty tight this episode.
Right. And even Spencer said, you know, for once I've made a move. I took Steven out, but I can't become a game bot and start treating people like game bots. Mm-hmm. Jeremy is someone I want to keep a relationship with. So I think Spencer did good damage control, if there was even need for it, mm-hmm. at making a big move, but still keeping that relationship with Jeremy close, which I think people, if they're going to praise someone's game, I think Spencer is doing a good job at that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Then we see a little bit of FaceTime with good old Kimmy Kappenberg.
Kimmy.
It's Kappenin.
All girls. It's Kappenin. She wants to get that all girls alliance going.
Which I thought was really interesting, you know. Mm-hmm. After Tribal Council, obviously she was a little blindsided because one of her allies, Steven, which we saw throughout this game, she has a really close relationship with Steven and Jeremy. Mm-hmm. So she was a little blindsided when Steven went home mm-hmm. that she's starting to think, okay, well, now I need to start taking control of my own destiny. It's towards the end of the game, so I can't fault her for that. So she's kind of proposing the idea to Wentworth on the hammock that, let's say Joe loses immunity, mm-hmm. he goes home. Well, that leaves the four of us women.
And that's then we're taking over the game after that.
Right, exactly. Because she said, I did not come out here and leave my family to be someone's pawn. So it's time for me to start making moves.
Damn, Kimmy.
So I kind of liked kind of this evolution of Kimmy. Because we haven't really seen her. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And when we don't, it's like, we want more Kimmy. And I loved seeing Kimmy tonight. But I saw a really good tweet and a few things online. I'm a part of this group called Previously on Survivor. Again, I'm that much of a fan on Facebook. And some people were saying that it was really interesting that Kimmy would want to start or plant seeds for an all-girls alliance. But if we go back to the episode where Monica got voted out. Do you kind of see that as like a double standard, hypocritical?
Kind of. I mean, when Monica was in here, she was kind of saying, you know, it seems like Kimmy has something against women, you know. She, like, never wants to work with them. She's trying to get them out all the time. And then we see Kimmy being the leader in doing this all-girls immunity.
Right.
Or all-girls alliance, sorry. So, it seems a little strange. I don't think that Kimmy had anything against women in the first place.
No.
It was weird, the thing that happened with Monica. I definitely think so. But I don't think she had anything against women.
Right. And I can see why people why some people think that it's a little double standard and hypocritical of Kimmy to want to start forming a female alliance.
And, okay, in our live chat, too, Sheena123 said, Monica brought up the women's alliance to Kimmy, and Kimmy shut it down. Mm-hmm. So I totally forgot, I was thinking, you know, how she, got her out, but Monica specifically said, let's bring an all-girls alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And Kimmy said, no, absolutely not, and went crazy and got her out.
But this is why I think Kimmy is playing it smart now, because it is the final eight.
Right.
You're so close to the end. She's realizing, I was just blindsided, going to take destiny into my own hands. Mm-hmm. Her going for this all-girls alliance, especially where two of the girls, Abby and Wentworth, mm-hmm. who've been on the bottom most of the merge.
Right.
It's not a bad move.
It's more the timing of the thing. You know, the timing of the all-girls alliance at the time when Monica suggested it didn't make sense because they already had a good thing going.
Exactly.
Whereas now, it makes sense. Yeah, it's a time now. So, yeah.
So, I don't know about everyone in the live chat, but definitely let us know what you think about this because it seems like in the story arc, it's mm-hmm. come full circle.
Yeah.
Kimmy didn't want a female alliance.
Now what do we see?
Pre-merge, but mm-hmm. now post-merge. She's coming up with the idea, and it's a great one.
Yeah.
So, definitely very interesting.
Right.
The reward challenge is one of my all-time favorites in the history of Survivor. Every time and any time they do the family visit, I mm-hmm. always get choked up and so emotional.
I literally cried through the entire thing. I was like, okay, my makeup's going to be all messed up for the show. Like, I was crying. Like, people were walking around me. I was like, oh, my God, nobody can see me because I'm literally sitting here crying at Survivor. Bawling.
Whose reunion with their loved one was most touching to you? I mean,
Jeremy's.
Yeah.
I rewound it, and watched Jeremy's again for a second time because I thought it was so sweet. And just how she told him, it's a boy. mm-hmm. for the first time. He didn't know what his wife's pregnant. He didn't know the gender and found it's a boy. He's like, I'm having a little boy. I'm so excited. Like, I just thought it was so touching.
I did too. I would have to say, yeah, Jeremy mm-hmm. had the most like heartfelt reunion, but it was really, I love it because everyone, you kind of see the relationship and it's all personal to them. Like mm-hmm. Jeremy is one thing with Val. Mm-hmm. You see Tasha with her cousin Christine, which their dynamic is so fun. They're more like sisters than cousins. And right. this is when, again, kind of keeping up with Bledsoe, Spencer's story arc of like opening up and being more vulnerable.
And saying that he's never said I love you to her until tonight.
And how special that it was on Survivor, because it's to my understanding that Marcella, Spencer's girlfriend, is also a huge fan of the show. So for her to be able to take part in this experience alongside Spencer, a show that she also loves.
Right.
And then to have her boyfriend say, I love you. Like, to me, that was just a heartwarming moment.
How are they doing now?
They're still together.
Oh, yay.
Based on Facebook.
That was sweet. And it was probably so exciting for him because, you know, before leaving for Survivor, he wasn't, you know, it's not like he wasn't sure that he loved her, but he just didn't know if he wanted to express it, you know. And then, like, after being away from somebody for so long, you really understand how you feel for them when you're not with them. So it was really, like, cute that he, you know, realized that he really did love her and wanted to be with her and said that right on the show. That was sweet.
It was adorable. Yeah. And then we have Abby Maria with her mother.
Oh, that was cute.
You're my mother and you're my best friend.
That was sweet. I liked them.
That was really precious. Keith.
Big D.
Yeah, it was so funny when his wife Tina came running out. My favorite part of the whole thing was when he goes, L.A., Lower Arkansas. And I was thinking, okay, when I think of L.A., it's Los Angeles, because that's where we're based.
Yeah.
But all right, L.A. is now Lower Arkansas.
She like jumped on him. He's like, ow. Like, it looked like he was like literally going to fall over.
It was so good. Kelly Wentworth was great for her father, Dale, especially because Dale and Kelly Wentworth on Survivor mm-hmm. San Juan del Sur, they didn't make it to the merge, let alone the family visit.
Yeah.
So to be able to see his daughter, who he got to play with this far in the game of Second Chance, and now visiting for a family visit, I loved that moment too between the two of them. That was really sweet.
Yeah.
Joe, of course, in Worlds Apart, didn't have the opportunity to make it to the family visit.
And then he brings him to tears. It was so sweet.
It was so sweet.
I love that. And he was like, I've dreamed of this moment since, you know, I was a kid, like watching Survivor, like of my dad being able to come out in the family reunion visit.
And I definitely think his relationship with his dad is an interesting one. Like, I don't kiss my dad on the lips, but
you know, it was kind of weird. I mean, it was like not directly on the lips. It was like a little to the side, but yeah, it was a little strange.
But maybe it was
and
just
then like his dad was like kind of like tickling him at one point. It's a little weird, but
it's a little cute.
I mean, a lot of my friends growing up would like kiss their parents on the lips,
right?
And I always thought it was kind of weird just because I didn't do that, but who knows?
Mary Duda. Oh, we'll get to Mary Duda's comment in a second.
Okay.
And then last but not least, Kimmy. And, you know, Probst made a really good point that Kimmy has been waiting the longest time to do something like a family visit from being on Survivor Australian Outback Season 2. So for her to be in the family visit, the top eight, and seeing her father run through the bushes, like, that I can't imagine how special of a moment that would have been.
It was so sweet.
For her. Mm-hmm. Especially when she said, this is the best gift to be able to give my dad. And to be a part of my
dream. To see him living my dream, yeah.
I loved it.
Aww.
Of course, the winner will get a barbecue. The challenge happened. It seemed like Kimmy was, from the gate, like, was in first place. She seemed to be leading the pack. And I was like, go, Kimmy, go! Yeah. Like, this would be great.
And then she felt so far behind.
And then she got a little too dizzy.
Yeah, she literally couldn't get back up on it.
Everyone was at the puzzle itself, and it was at, like Jeff said, anyone's game. It's like, you might think you have it, and then all of a sudden, it's not the right word. You know, Abby thought the word was redemption, which is so far from nourishment.
Right.
But luckily enough for Kelly Wentworth.
She got it.
The reward, which I was kind of hoping Jeremy was going to win, only because of Val and that whole situation.
I'm so sad that Kelly didn't pick him.
I know.
Why didn't she pick
him? Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because I know a lot of people in the chat, well, especially Mary Judah, she made a comment that said something along the lines of, you know, I thought it was unfair that Steven only got to pick two people to go with me on my reward, because the last episode, Steven brought Jeremy and Tasha on the reward, Wentworth got to
pick six people or whatever.
Yeah, so it's like a little insane.
So she picked Keith, Abby, and Kimmy. She got to pick three, but then she got to pick an additional set of four.
Right.
So there's only three people left behind.
Right. So like five people got to partake in this reward and three people didn't. How awkward.
Yeah, that's so awkward. I felt so bad for her when she had to pick that. Like, I would hate to have to pick and not have somebody be able to be with their loved one because exactly. I picked, you know.
For a while, I thought there might have been, like, a little San Juan del Sur loyalty, and I thought Wentworth was going to pick Jeremy right. just from the gate. And Keith was, you know, that wasn't unexpected. I pretty much expected that.
I figured she would pick Jeremy just because he's been talking so much about Val and how excited he was to see her and everything.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad. What did you think about that?
Joseph Boza said in the live chat, I think with Wentworth, they wanted Joe to be there, and that is why they said that she needed to pick four people to go on the reward with her, which is interesting.
Wait, what do you mean they wanted Joe to be there?
Like, producers are probably like...
I know,
like,
why?
Because, you know, his whole story this entire season has been, I want to make the family visit, I want to make the family visit. It's kind of poetic in a sense, which we'll get to later.
This season, to be honest, I don't even remember him really saying that throughout the season.
Really?
No, like... When yeah. has he been saying this?
He just wanted to make the family visit.
I think I, like, missed these times when Joe was saying that. Like,
so, back
yeah,
at
but
camp.
Yeah, but Val, okay, but why didn't they want to pick Jeremy? Because why wouldn't the producers want Jeremy to be there?
Well, I think from a game standpoint, Wentworth picked Abby Maria because that is her number one girl. So mm-hmm. it's obviously keeping Abby Maria close. If you stroke Abby Maria's ego and her...
Abby would have been picked.
Her wants in the game, of course, they're going to be... She's going to be loyal to you. So that's great.
Keith first because
and she picked Keith yeah, because Keith is kind of like I don't want to say floater.
Like a floater
because everyone says
they're gonna be mad.
That's not the word you use in Survivor, which is fine. Whatever, I get it, I understand it. But he's kind of like there.
Yeah.
He's existing. I'll just put it that way.
Right.
He's existing in the game of Survivor. Doesn't really seem to have a strong tie with anyone. So I think by keeping Keith close, that's okay. another vote for Wentworth.
That was her first guy, though. Mm-hmm. Or the first person she picked.
Right. And then she picked
Abby.
Kimmy.
She picked Abby.
Then Abby. And then she picked Kimmy.
And then she picked Kimmy.
Which I thought was also great.
Kimmy was so sweet about it,
with the female alliance. With
yeah.
that, you know, I'm going to show Kimmy that I can remain loyal to her. So I think mm-hmm. that, I think, I'm just putting myself in Wentworth's shoes.
Right.
I'm not for sure why she picked these people, but it would make sense the most. Mm-hmm. And same with Joe. I think just Joe kind of, you know, it was special.
Oh my god, all right.
So back at Orkin Beach, of course, everyone was celebrating their barbecue. Mm-hmm. How awkward for the other three.
So the other three, like, that just came to visit, like, they fly into Cambodia and then they're like, all right, see ya.
Bye. Yep.
That's it, bye. Too bad they couldn't, like, hang out, like, for a couple weeks until they got voted out, hang out
right.
with them in Ponderosa.
Once in a lifetime opportunity to go to Cambodia
yeah,
and you're there for 5 seconds
right,
on
exactly.
the beach with your loved one.
And then you just have a barbecue and then that's it?
Yeah. Damn. Ay, ay, ay. Well... Back on the beach, we didn't really see a lot of interaction between the loved ones. One that we did see that was pretty prevalent was Joe and his dad, mm-hmm. obviously, because the story arc of him wanting to make the family visit mm-hmm. finally is happening, so checking it off his list.
Oh, that was so sweet.
And they have a really tender moment together and how, you know, growing up, I guess Joe's father wasn't very warm or affectionate, and they got to this point in their relationship where they're really good friends, and it was just a really cute moment between Joe and his dad.
Yeah, he said, I've never had a friend like you.
Yeah.
They were crying. That was sweet. Yeah, I wonder if it would have been different if, like, Jeremy had told everybody that Val was pregnant. I think they would have picked him.
I know, it's a double-edged
sword.
Why
doesn't Jeremy want to tell people? Because he thinks that it's going to put a target on his back?
Because if he goes to the end and he says, I have a newborn, my wife's pregnant... People are going to want to give him $1 million. It's, like, more of
doesn't
leverage.
He want that?
But he doesn't want people to know that now. Because then it's like, oh, shit, if I sit next to Jeremy, I'm not going to win. Because he has this great story of, like, my wife is expecting.
Like the Johnny Fairplay situation?
Yeah, kind of. But this is actually a real situation. Like,
yeah.
Johnny Fairplay's dad, I mean, grandma didn't really die. It was just, like, a way to, like, kind of get people to feel sympathy for him. But in the grand scheme of things with Jeremy... He's saying that he doesn't want people to know about
right.
his newborn or his wife expecting because people see him as a threat going to the end with him, which I think is pretty smart to kind of keep that under wraps. But it is a double-edged sword, like you brought up, Paige, because
right.
had people known that, I think maybe Wentworth would have chosen him to partake in the reward.
But it's smarter for him because I would rather win $1 million than go on a reward with my wife.
Amen. But, you know, I guess the pro for Jeremy, Spencer, and Tasha not winning the reward is that
they
gave the three of them a chance to talk away from the rest of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when we see a final three alliance kind of strike up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's been talking about voting blocks, but this is the first time it's like we're going to the end together that
right.
I've seen. So Jeremy brings up the question of, what do you guys think of her picks? There's that conversation kind of flowing. Mm-hmm. Spencer, of course, it was kind of expected. Mm-hmm. And that's when we hear the quote of the episode, tiny little shanks to the heart, one mm-hmm. by one. Mm-hmm. It does suck to not be picked for the reward. But in their defense, they get to have an opportunity. An opportunity that could be really game-changing for the three of them if they choose to stick with one another, which I am
under the impression they will. Well, now, too, all the girls think that Tasha's on the All Girls Alliance because she did what they said and voted out Joe.
It'll be interesting.
But she's really with the other guys, so yeah, we'll see.
Spencer is the one that brings up the alliance. He goes, how do you feel about us in the final three?
Wait, say that again?
Spencer was the one that brought up, how do you feel about us in the final three?
Tasha.
Then they bring up the Steven vote again, because Tasha and Jeremy were not a part of that blind side.
I know you felt a little weird about this.
Yes, and he said it wasn't against you, but it was against Steven. But now I think, again, Spencer did a great move in taking out Steven because now he's the third. He's the new Steven. So he positioned himself Spencer in such a good spot.
Yeah, he did.
So, again, I don't think people are singing enough praises for Spencer. Right. I think Spencer is playing a really good game. And he's evolving, and he's really seizing that second chance theme.
Yeah.
So I love it. But, yeah, this is when the alliance strikes up. Mm-hmm. This is when Tasha gets a little shady with the girls in some respects, because she informs Steven and... Spencer and Jeremy that there's a girls' alliance.
But, and she was saying, I'm loyal. I've been loyal from the beginning. I'm going to tell you what's going on, because Jeremy's her, number one. So she's going to go back to him and tell him stuff, because she really feels like she wants to be loyal.
Right.
And she's like, it'd be dishonest for me not to.
Actually, I'm mistaken. She talked about that later. All I wrote was an all girls' alliance. This is when she's talking in her confessional. She's saying... Mm-hmm. Oh, but I have this also thing on the side of Girls Alliance, which could work out to my favor.
Right.
She did not tell them in that moment that there was a Girls
Alliance. But she did tell them.
Eventually, right. Yeah.
And she kind of also said, too, there's not going to be very many more opportunities for us to take out Joe. Mm-hmm. After this, he lost his one challenge, there's going to be no more opportunities for that. You give him an inch, he takes a mile. So.
Mm-hmm. And then at the immunity challenge, it seems like Joe against the world point. Two people are going to win this immunity, which is kind of shocking. Mm-hmm. One woman, one man will win. There's a section of a poll that will be added every 5 minutes.
That's legit for the girls, because they got kind of knocked out right away. And then
right away,
like,
boom,
right.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, so.
When your statue falls, you're out of the competition. Mm-hmm. Everyone got to the 10-foot length of the pole. And then Jeff had some soundbite there, which I was laughing about because it was foreshadow. He goes, with a wooden statue over your head, it's 10 feet high. Be mindful of that. When it drops, get out of the way.
Yeah.
So I thought something was going to happen.
I thought someone's going to fall on someone's head, yeah.
When I heard that, I was like, oh, shoot, someone's going to, have it fall. And especially in the preview last week for this week's episode, it's a little deceiving because it had a clip flash to one of the statues falling. And so you think that this statue is going to fall on somebody's head and give them a concussion. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, my God.
But first one out is Kimmy, first to drop, Abby, and Tasha, which automatically means Wentworth gets wins immunity. The female immunity necklace. Then, bam, Spencer drops. Jeremy drops just like that, leaving Joe versus Keith.
Like we had a couple weeks ago. Yes. Same thing. They do it out forever.
Uh-huh. They're at the 14-foot pole, and then after an hour and 20 minutes, they're at 16 feet
So they had
pole.
Already had the rest. Was this an hour and 20 total or an hour and 20 for this pole?
An hour and 20 minutes to this point.
Okay, and that's total. Total.
Up to this point, it was only an hour
and 20
minutes.
And your head's up the whole time?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And the 16 feet of pole was, the final. That was the cap. Joe... kind of gets a little hazy.
Yeah.
And his thing starts moving. Then Keith starts moving.
All the way, reacting. Down. You can see everybody's just when Joe's is going, they're like, yes, 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 yes.
They're all like, oh, please let Joe fall.
Which is funny. It's just because, if Joe, I don't know. Keith would never be voted out anyways, even if he didn't get immunity.
Right.
But they just want Joe gone.
But unfortunately, Joe is just pushing himself a little too much in the game of Survivor, where his body just gave out him, completely collapsing. Mm-hmm. I think at first everyone was just kind of Keith wins immunity. And then when Joe's not getting right back up, everyone's Oh my God. No,
oh, literally, they started cheering. Like, they were literally like, woo! I was like, oh my God. Okay, when somebody loses, like, I think it was just like a reaction. Like, they didn't mean it in a bad way, but like, they all wanted Joe to get out so bad that like, they all like literally cheered. And I was like, okay, first of all, it's not classy at all. Like, you shouldn't cheer when somebody loses, like, regardless, you know? And I know that they didn't mean it like that, but it just, I don't know, it came across like, and obviously they didn't want him to fall, but like, I just didn't like that they even like cheered like when he lost.
Oh, but maybe it was a cheer for Keith.
No, it was it was when he felt like they were all looking at him like, I think it was a cheer for Joe to be out. They were not cheering for Keith. I mean, they were happy maybe. That Keith won.
Right.
But like, it seemed like they were like happier that it was Joe that fell, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately for Joe, he gets a little emotional. He says, I wanted to play this game as hard as I can. I'm vulnerable again. I could be voted out at tribal council.
He's shaking like
poor
his hands.
Guy. Ugh. Back at beach, Abby Maria makes a snide comment. Typical Abby Maria.
Oh my God.
It was great to see Joe collapse and lose to a 52-year-old man. It's time for him to go.
Yeah, it's like Abby. Like, he literally just passed out. Like, what?
God bless you, Abby Maria.
Oh my God. I mean, all her comments.
And even, like, I think Wentworth on the flip side was like, you know, it was scary to see that happen to him. But at the same time, in game mode, you're like, oh, well, that was, he didn't win.
Right.
Good move, like, moment to take him out.
Oh, poor Joe. He was so sad.
Joe is working every angle that he possibly can, though, which you can't fault him for. He proposes to Jeremy that they should vote out Abby Maria because everyone wants to sit next to her in the end since she's easy money, which is true. Like, Abby Maria will never win a game like Survivor. She just won't.
Right.
And so by bringing someone like Abby Maria along, it knocks one of your competitions out of the running, and all you have to do is beat the other person out.
Right.
So Joe is making a really strong proposal, and I was thinking for a while that people might
I thought people were gonna go for it. Yeah,
and I would have loved to have seen that, but unfortunately it didn't work out that way. This is when Tasha sits down with Jeremy and Spencer and says the girls want to do an all-girl alliance. She told them because she didn't want them to risk finding out from someone else eventually
and not thinking that she's loyal, right?
Which I think is brilliant.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I did see a tweet tonight from thytan, thytan 11. Survivor, someone who called Jeff Varner a rat just ratted out an idea for an all-girls alliance. Come on, man.
She did call Varner a rat in front of everybody.
Yeah. And then she kind of had she kind of did tendencies. The same.
See, you see people saying one thing and doing the other. Like, when it comes down to you on the line, you know, you're saying, like, you're mad at everybody for doing things, but then when it comes down to you...
Sweet
survival.
Jeremy's talking about how he was planning on voting out Joe, but when Tasha informs him of this all-girl alliance, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? So it seems like, in my opinion, the case for Abby Maria was really, really strong.
Right, but so at we would have had Jeremy, Tasha, and Joe voting as Abby Maria.
Yeah.
Done.
But the case to vote out Joe is a little bit
stronger.
Greater. Than the Abby Maria proposal.
Because they need Joe gone.
Going into tribal council, there was a lot of conversation about, you know, well, Wentworth said, you know, back to game mode. After that, it was really scary, but this guy doesn't have immunity anymore. Jeremy says, people know who's on the chopping block right now. Both Joe and Abby Maria raise their hands, which is pretty accurate. Abby says, I always feel like I'm on the bottom because of the connection that I had with Sierra and Wentworth. Joe calling her out and saying, well, I think you are a threat in the game because everyone wants to take you to the end.
Right.
Because you survive each vote. I love what Jeff said. Probst, without hesitation, goes, well, who...
Oh, taking like, up the
someone
seat.
Like who you can drag to the end because they won't win. It might be taking your spot in the final three.
Exactly.
And I was just waiting for Abby Maria to interject and be like, excuse me.
Not win? I can't win?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what do you mean I can't win? She's no idea.
So interesting.
Oh my God.
But it's true. I mean, the argument is really true because Abby Maria more than likely has a possibility of getting to the end because she is such a goat. So I don't know. I just.
Wentworth also literally hated everything that Joe was saying. Everything coming out of Joe's mouth, she was like rolling her eyes. She hated it. She hated it.
Well, he made a good point that said if you don't have a solid four, you're going to be eight. You're going to be seven. You're going to be six. And then it was time to vote. Abby goes up there and votes for Joe. And while she's doing it...
Okay, rude, first of all. Of course.
You're moldy. I don't know what that means.
Because he's been in there for too long. He should have been gone too, like, a long time ago. He's moldy. He's old.
You're moldy.
You're moldy.
Please get your hair cut. You look like a clown.
Like, after all this, like, has Abby Maria not learned anything? Like, so after ridiculous. Everything, always making rude-ass comments. Like, come on. Like, grow up.
Oh, sorry. Abby Maria.
Sorry, people are going to get mad at me, but...
Unfortunately for Joe, the cards...
And I think Joe's hair looks good.
I do, too.
So...
But we can't love Joe too much, because that's when people get upset with
us.
Oh,
yeah, sorry.
But in Joe's defense... Okay, so Joe gets voted out tonight, unfortunately. Goodbye to Joe. I think it was time for him to go. He played a really good game up until this point. A lot of people in our last few after shows are like, I don't get all the Joe love. I don't understand it. First off, I've never once said he's playing a flawless game. I've never once sang his praises. All I'm saying is he's good looking. And you can't fault me for saying that.
I think that he's a good looking guy. I think he's a very nice guy. I think he seems like, you know, a good person that has good values. Yeah. Like, he's a good player. He's athletic. He's strong. Like, what is there not to like about him? Sorry, yeah, we don't think that he's playing a flawless game necessarily, but he seems like a good person, so we say that we like him. But like, yeah. What's so bad about that?
It's just so funny. People are like, oh, I don't get the Joe love. What is he doing in this game? What kind of game is he playing? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, I just say that I like him.
Right.
I like him.
I, as a person, personally
like him. And I personally don't like Abby Maria.
And I think he's pretty cute, you know?
So funny how people are just so bent up over our opinions on Joe. But I want to bring up something. Again, I guess not to toot my own horn of being a fan. I do read Steven's Survivor blog on people.com.
Okay.
And I want to point out that we may talk about Joe every now and then, about what we like about him. But even Steven Fishback, in his blog last week, gave Joe a fishy. Which is like Stephen Fishback's version of an award for the episode, his MVP.
Okay.
Gave Joe a fishy. He said, everybody assumed Joe would be gone the moment he lost immunity, and I sure assumed it. Mm-hmm. Joe managed to make deep bonds that carried him through his moment of vulnerability. That was one of the tests of his second chance success, and he met it.
Okay, so, that's great. Yeah.
For everyone out there who doesn't think that Joe played a good game because of what editors are showing us, all they're showing us is that he's a game bot in the sense that he's winning all these challenges, right. And I'm a golden boy. Clearly, he's doing something right.
Exactly.
Stephen Fishback saying his praises. Yeah. Not just that, but even tonight, Tasha said, we got to get rid of Joe. He's a strong threat, and he has really strong ties with people. Mm-hmm. So.
And they almost still didn't get rid of him, so.
Exactly. Yep. That's the only thing I'll say about Joe. And that he's really attractive.
All right, we're done about Joe.
So, unfortunately, Joe left tonight, which that means it leaves 7 people left in the competition. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Oh, my God.
Look at our fantasy draft team
Damn,
graphic.
You're still doing good, James.
Thank you.
It's wow.
So many X's. This game and this season is going by so fast.
Wow, you have a good team still. So, yeah. So James has Spencer, Kelly Wentworth, Abby Maria, and Kimmy. I still have Tasha and Jeremy, and then Susanna just has Keith.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Susanna.
Oh, Susanna.
I wish she was
too
here
bad.
To talk about
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, Susanna.
It's going to be interesting. Like, once, like, what if she loses Keith next week?
She's going to.
Then she's going to.
Maybe not next week.
Right,
but
she's like, doesn't have anybody left on our team.
Too bad.
So, since we do have a few more minutes left of our after show, as you see the standings left for the fantasy team, we all, I think Keith won't make it to the end. But I think you and I have really strong teams that I think we will see some of our players in the top three.
I think next week it's either going to be Kimmy or Keith.
Voted out?
Yeah.
I would say Abby Maria or Keith.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. So let's kind of like break it down really quick, because I know a lot of people have their opinions on who they think is the best, like most deserving, or who's playing the best game, mm-hmm. which again caused a lot of controversy on our after show mm-hmm. last week because my opinions did not line up with the rest. Mm-hmm. Who at this point do you think is playing the best game?
Okay.
But that doesn't mean no one else is playing a good game.
Right.
It's just who's... who in your opinion is playing the best game and why?
I might say Spencer at this point.
Really?
I think Spencer's playing a great game right now.
He seems to be dodging through a lot of
votes. He's dodging
bullets.
He's getting in the alliances where he needs to go. How many times has he been on the chopping block and he's found his way out of it?
Cat with 9 lives.
Exactly. And I think he's just been doing a really, really good job so far.
And I think he's really seizing the opportunities to be more social. Like,
right.
More so than he was.
And he's getting on other bandwagons when he needs to. He's starting his own when he needs to. I think Spencer's doing great. I don't know. What do you think?
It's tough because I feel like I can make an argument for almost everyone.
Right.
But the top 3 contenders for me mm-hmm. are Wentworth, Spencer, and Jeremy.
Yeah, I was going
to
say...
They're the standouts to me mm-hmm. as a gameplay. As far as the best gameplay that I think is playing the best, I would have to say Kelly Wentworth.
I don't know what, like, what... Okay, yes, Jeremy has an immunity idol, and he, you know, pulled that last week.
Yeah.
But other than that, what's so great about his gameplay?
Jeremy?
Yeah. You know, well, like, I'm trying to think.
Well, I mean, okay, last week I said that he wasn't the best player, but he is playing a great game. And
right.
what I think Jeremy is working to his strengths is that everyone likes him.
Yeah.
Every single person likes him to mm-hmm. the point where they're not talking about him as a threat.
And they all go to Jeremy for when they need things or, right. you know, to help them.
Which, you know, last week I said, if people aren't talking about you, then clearly you're not doing something. But I will say I choked on my words. I'll take them back.
Mm-hmm.
There's pros and cons to that. Jeremy's not a target, so obviously he's doing something right.
Right.
Do I think his game is standout? Not necessarily.
Yeah, I don't think his game is very standout.
And when I said, I called him a floater last week, which I know is a Big Brother term, not a Survivor term, but he's not a goat by any
right,
means.
Right, no.
Maybe the word I should have used is that he's kind of coasting along because he has been hiding behind Joe.
Sure.
Which is great strategy. It's a defensive mechanism. Everyone's more focused on Joe and not Jeremy because mm-hmm. Jeremy is a big guy.
Which is what Jeremy said he wanted to do from the beginning.
Exactly. So he's obviously playing those cards correctly. Mm-hmm. Not just that, but he does have a lot of personal ties with all of these people. Even Sierra mentioned, hey, I don't want to be sitting next to someone like Jeremy at the end of this game because right. he will win.
Right.
Which is, okay, obviously people are starting to think that Jeremy can mm-hmm. win this game, which I don't think that he can't win. I think he can absolutely win.
Mm-hmm.
But just from what I've seen, and I'm just saying based on the edit alone,
mm-hmm.
we're not out there 24/7 with these players. I don't think Jeremy is playing the most mind-blowing game
right.
that I think he could be playing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's playing a great game.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, I think Wentworth was so underrated in San Juan del Sur.
Mm-hmm.
People did not think she deserved to be on Survivor Second Chance.
Mm-hmm.
She's proven to
Why
everyone
do you think she didn't
that
deserve it?
Because she didn't make it far in San Juan del Sur. Not a lot of people knew who she was.
Right.
She made it on the show, and she's exceeding people's
oh my God.
Expectations of her gameplay.
Yeah.
She found the first hidden immunity idol in this game. She was able to coast through this game being a threat, and then all of a sudden when people were talking about her as a threat, she played the idol and saved herself.
Right.
Now she's no longer being talked about.
Exactly.
So she's done
yeah,
good at
she's doing,
being, like, on the front lines of
right.
battle.
Yeah.
And then retreating into the back and being mm-hmm. a, kind of under the radar.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I just...
I would say best gameplay probably Wentworth or Spencer for me.
I think what Kelly Wentworth is doing is just far more compelling.
Right.
And that's why, for me as a fan, I think that's more worthy and rootable, in my opinion.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
But Jeremy, as a player, I think is doing a great job.
Yeah.
And I think Spencer is also doing a great job
mm-hmm.
because, like you said, he's dodged so many votes.
Right.
And he's been talked
he's
about.
People doing what
have
he needs to do right when he needs
threat.
To do it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, those are the top three standouts. But
mm-hmm.
if I have to say someone who's playing the best game that I don't think is really getting enough credit online, it's Kelly Wentworth.
Yeah.
I see a lot of Jeremy praise,
mm-hmm.
which I can get behind.
Right.
But it's not the best.
Yeah.
I'm not compelled by his gameplay.
Right.
I'm not.
We see a lot of people talking about Spencer, you know, other people, but not as much about Kelly. You're right.
Yeah.
She's been great.
I would like to see more from Jeremy, and I think there's a lot of room for that potential.
Right.
So, I don't know.
And he's still got that idol.
And he still got that idol.
Still got that
but
idol.
Hopefully he'll actually use it wisely.
Yeah. Oh.
And save it to use it on himself.
Oh. Yeah.
And Wentworth still has an idol, too. So, really quick, predictions.
Wait, Wentworth still has an idol? Wait.
She got an idol.
And now.
Oh my God, I totally forgot.
Okay.
I'm like, wait, she used her idol. Like,
no, but then she found the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, then
the
she
reward.
Found the one. Okay, yeah.
So, for predictions, who do you think is going to go home next week?
I'm going to stand by what I said before and say Keith or Kimmy.
Okay. I kind of agree. I think it's going to be Keith or Abby Maria.
You think
Maria.
It's Abby Maria? I mean, she was on the chopping block this week.
I think the argument to get out Abby Maria is really strong,
mm-hmm.
and it's a good one.
It's a good one.
And people might think,
let's just
time.
Get her out.
We've used her enough.
Yeah, we've used
Whereas
her.
Keith, you know, he is a game player
mm-hmm.
as far as, like, he's good in challenges.
Right.
And he doesn't really seem to have a solid alliance,
surprising
which I think
how
could
good.
Hurt him.
Yeah, it's surprising how good Keith is in challenges to me.
Right.
Oh, my God.
But I think it's going to hurt him that he doesn't have a
solid alliance.
Voting block.
Right. Yeah.
So.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good calls.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see what happens.
So I think Keith or Abby Maria. And then as far as, like, I would really like to see the final three be Wentworth, Spencer, and Jeremy.
That'd be great.
Because, like I said, I think they're all playing the best. They're all playing great games. And I just...
That would probably be my favorite three that would be in there.
Yeah. I think that would be such a strong and epic final tribal council with three, between three players who have displayed three different types of ways to play the game of Survivor and executed them flawlessly.
Someone in live chat before said, like, what if in the end it's literally just Abby, Kimmy, and Keith? Like,
if it's Abby, Kimmy, and Keith in the end, I would hope to heck that Kimmy wins. Hope to heck.
Oh, my God.
It's just, I love this season. It's been so unpredictable. It's been incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have Monica back in the studio next week, so we'll be able to ask her what she thought about Kimmy making this Girl Alliance power move tonight.
Oh, my God.
And one more question about predictions. Do you think the Girl Alliance is going to stick?
No. Do you?
I think maybe for one round and then after that.
Yeah. Nope. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Yep. Not gonna happen.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yes, it will.
All right, Paige, where can they find you on social media?
All right, you guys can find me at Paige Bonanno.
And you can find me on Twitter at James Wallington, on Instagram at James.Wallington. And you can find me every Monday here on AfterBuzzTV.com for the Amazing Race After Show at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we'll see you guys next week.
Sounds good.
A great week.
Thanks for joining us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.